This is a radio show for people with problems.
Home improvement problems. Send an email now to Robbie at MightyHouse.net or call into the show at 877-711-5611. From foundation leaks to roof repairs, the Mighty House team is on the job. You're listening to Mighty House.
I'm Ron Cowgill. The Mighty House team is back. Join us on Facebook Live right now, brought to you in part by First Northern Credit Union. First Northern Credit Union is the only community credit union in Evanston. Visit them at fncu.org to learn more about the benefits of a credit union membership in your community. We're also broadcasting worldwide and live, mightyhouse.net, tunein.com. We're on the Gab Radio Network. Just look for Mighty House Home Improvement Show. Podcasts and previous shows available at mightyhouse.net, Stitcher, iTunes, SoundCloud, and on homeimprovementusa.com. Find links to all of them at mightyhouse.net. Video clips of the show are available at MightyHouse.net and on our Mighty House YouTube channel. And you can follow us on Facebook by looking for Mighty House Home Improvement Show, and our Twitter handle is at Mighty House. And if you give us a call on the Mr. Floor helpline, 877-711-5611, you will have a chance to win your choice of Mr. Floor cleaning products. They're all non-toxic and environmentally safe, and you can learn more at MrFloor.com. All right, there we go. Robbie's been feverishly working here. And I don't know if Rich is there or not. He flashed on the screen for a little bit, and then he was gone again.
Well, we have a really good topic that you sent me information about this week, and you said, should you and I discuss it? And I said, well, I think that not only should you and I discuss it, but we should discuss it probably on the air, because that would make more sense.
Yeah.
Yeah, because, you know, it's not usually during the week that you and I discuss things, but, you know, hey, if that's what you wanted.
Whatever. But there was that would have been nice had I actually printed that out and had that list of topics. See, I didn't do that.
But you sent it to me.
I know. Do you have it? If you've got it, then we can cover it.
Of course I have it. I just have to.
Because I didn't bring it. So, and what that was, I thought that was kind of interesting for, I know it's a little inside baseball kind of thing, but for the homeowner to find out what's going on within the remodeling industry and what the remodeling industry people are telling other contractors, what they should look for, how they should interview potential clients. When you look at it from a contractor's perspective, it might be a little interesting, a little different. So that's when I thought maybe we could talk about that. Rich just popped on the screen like, boink, there he was.
Yes.
So that's cool. So what we were talking about is, what should you ask? What should a contractor be asking the potential client when they call up or when they start talking to them on?
Do you have the money to pay for this?
Yeah.
The exactly. Article is called "The Seven Yeses: Pre-Qualified Prospects in a Single Phone Call."
Right. So this.
Oh
is,
yeah.
This
is what we always did that.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think that's kind of interesting for a homeowner to understand why a contractor might start asking questions.
Okay.
You know, and basically, you would think that the homeowner's interviewing the potential contractor, but the contractor is also interviewing the potential homeowner, the client.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely.
So it's interesting. The first question, I'll ask the question.
Sure.
You two.
We will answer very well.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. I'm the company. I'm the contractor for a change.
Uh-oh.
You guys.
Are you licensed again?
How did you learn about my company?
On the website.
Rich?
Typically, it's referral or website.
Yeah.
It's funny. Like, all of us have our trucks lettered and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I've only ever had one person say, yeah, I got you from your lettering on your truck.
Yeah, actually, we get that quite a bit. And
do you?
Yeah. You know, because they're sitting on the jobs all day. Or I saw one of your trucks down at Susie's house, and you know.
Well, see, you would expect that.
Yeah,
and, but I literally have only had one person honestly tell me that they saw my truck, and that's how they found me. But I think the majority of them are, you know, just Google or Nari. Well, but you know, internet. Let's just say computer based.
Correct. Yeah, and
a couple newspaper, but the newspaper ads don't really.
Yeah.
Newspaper ads are not as effective as radio ads.
There you go. Nice job. Tip in there, Rich. Good job. Woo! All right. So the other thing is that, you know, people, you got to sometimes, from the contractor's perspective, you got to dig a little deeper, too, because
bingo.
Someone says, oh, yeah, I found your website. Well, how did you know to look for our website?
Yes.
You know, where did that come through? Yelp? Did that come through a Google search? Did Susie down the street tell you to give us a call and you looked us up on the internet? You know, so a lot of everybody just says, "Oh, the website." That seems like it'd be like a catch-all for everything.
That was a huge issue I had when I sold advertising. People would say, "Oh, well, you know, I don't do whatever it is, radio, TV, whatever, right. because everybody just tells me, you know, it came from my newspaper lead or or you know, whatever." I'm like, "Okay, they're not telling you the whole story, like you said." People would tell me, "Okay, I'm going to put a different number in my TV ad than I am so I could track that." I said, "It doesn't work. When's the last time you've ever in your life seen anybody with a pen and paper watching a TV commercial and writing down the number?" They see the TV commercial, and then they go to the website. So then when you call them, they're going to say, "Oh, I found your information on the website." They're going to totally ignore the TV commercial.
That I totally agree with that. I mean, it was one of the problems we always had trying to track leads.
Horrible.
People very rarely, and it's not like they're trying to be dishonest. No. A lot of times they don't realize where they first time they heard of it. If my company, people would say, "Yeah, I found you in the phone book." I'm like, "Holy crap, are you shopping?"
Yeah.
My company began with V.
Yeah.
You know, no. At least you got to Ron at D.
Right.
But Vision Design and Build, you found me in the phone book? Like, how many contractors are you shopping?
As soon as I heard that, that was it. I wasn't going any further. If someone said they found me in the phone book, because I never paid for any phone book ads or any of that stuff. So I had the smallest print down in there, just under, you know, general
under
contract.
D, though, at least.
Yeah. Yeah, it was under D. But still, that was...
No, I got all the way to V.
Yeah, you knew... They were hunting if they were called out of the phone book.
So was that a good lead or a bad lead?
Bad. Guaranteed.
Usually it's a bad lead, but here's the other side of that coin. So when I'm looking for subcontractors, I'm looking for a plumber, electrician, whatever, I like to use 4 or 5 year old phone books.
Yep.
Because if you call that number and they're still in business, like, good. Because like a lot of businesses, they go out of business quickly and so on. So you want established companies.
Right.
Just because you saw a pretty new van doesn't mean they're any good.
Yeah, and... For like a 24-hour plumber emergency service, I think that the phone book's a different thing. Electricians, you know, heating and cooling guys, those guys that have an emergency service program, okay, they might get a better lead out of the phone book because you're in an emergency, you flip open the phone book, you go there. But today, everybody just flips open their, you know, they do a quick Google search and find something. So, so it's the phone book thing is... non-existent.
So what they're asking contractors to do or giving the advice is to probe deeper.
Yes.
You know, maybe they saw Ron's truck and, you know, then they asked the neighbor and then they looked it up on the website. You know, so where are all the touch points? Ooh.
Look at that. Advertising just came out of her like that.
Where are all the places that they saw your name, heard about you?
Yep.
You know, we want to list them all. Maybe you did see the ad on TV, but it was the truck that really, you know, got you going.
Right.
So,
okay, next one.
Second question.
And what we're doing is covering what questions the contractors are being told to ask the potential homeowners when they're calling.
Right.
Ron, can you describe the work you'd like to have done and the problems you hope to solve?
Uh-huh. I need a bathroom done. That's it. I want a complete bathroom remodel, but I only want you to change the vanity. The toilet's okay. And the tub, I don't want to pull that out. That's going to be too expensive. So just the tile around the tub. But that's a complete bathroom remodel.
Just the tile around the tub, that's all you want done?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
How much are you thinking of spending?
$500.
Hmm.
That's how much the material would be, right?
Okay, what they're suggesting is you ask the prospect to describe in detail the work they want to do.
Mm-hmm.
Allow them to create a project picture for you with as much detail as possible, although Ron said all he wants done is the tile.
Right, tile around the tub and a new vanity. The toilet's fine. But they'll also, homeowners will call that a complete remodel, which it's not.
No way.
Yeah.
It should include the full scope of work as well as some description of the reasons for the changes they're asking for and any goals they might have. Don't accept overly simplistic answers.
See? That's
ask
what I gave you.
Questions that will help you understand the reasons. Why is the toilet okay? Do you feel that once you've replaced the vanity, that the toilet's going to look out of place because maybe it's not going to match?
Just because it's still
green. Well, because that toilet only spins, you know, clockwise. I wanted to counterclockwise.
The drain to go counterclockwise.
Yes.
Yeah. I like the Desert Rose Kohler toilet that I've got. It's perfectly pink. I don't need a new toilet.
But once your tile is all done and your vanity's all done.
Oh, yeah. No, then we'll change it then. See?
Well, thank you for your honesty. Why don't we just change it now?
No, because it doesn't fit in the budget.
We'll be back.
Take a quick break, and we'll be back with more questions your contractor may be asking you when you give him a call.
Should be asking.
Should. Yeah.
This is Mighty House. Mighty House will return.
Here I come to save the day.
Here they come to save the day. This is Mighty House.
Join us on Facebook Live right now, brought to you in part by First Northern Credit Union. First Northern Credit Union is the only community credit union in Evanston. Visit them at fncu.org to learn more about the benefits of a credit union membership in your community. Also, Fast Signs of Lincolnwood. It's 80 at fastsigns.com. AWM Construction and Mr. Floor and MrFloor.com. Give us a call on the Mr. Floor helpline. It's 877-711-5611. You will have a chance to win your choice of Mr. Floor cleaning products. They're all non-toxic and environmentally safe. And you can learn more at MrFloor.com. Just like that.
So there's a few people that we would like to welcome.
Yeah.
Who are watching us live. Mm-hmm. Wally. It's like the... what was that? Romper Room.
Romper Room?
I see Wally, I see Michael, I see Mark, I see Josh.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
Who has a familiar last name and said, what's with the city chicken?
Uh-huh.
Hey. Catherine. Jimmy. Oh, I see Jimmy.
Uh-huh.
Okay, anyway. Yes. Larry and Lanny and Dan. Okay, there's a lot of people enjoying the show today.
The Facebook, yeah.
Oh, Rich's background is cool.
It was. Now it's not anymore.
So thank you all very much. And if you, too, would like to join us, you could watch us live on Mighty House Radio Show on Facebook.
And you'll see the city chicken. Kiwi.
City chicken.
Yeah.
I like that one.
That's a good one. I'm digging it.
No.
I mean, we always call them flying rats.
Uh-huh. City chicken, does that sound pretty cool?
I'm going to take city chicken out, and I'm going to hold city chicken.
Okay.
During the third hour.
Maybe not. Okay. So,
at the end of the third hour.
At the end of the third hour.
At the end of the third hour. Okay. So
you can do whatever the hell you want with that, dude.
Uh-huh. So we were in the...
Yes.
We were going over the seven questions.
What work would you like to have done?
That the contractor should be...
And we're on number two?
Should be asking the homeowner, yes.
Well, here was the tip. If someone says we need a new kitchen, that isn't very informative. So find out what's behind the statement. Is the kitchen too small? Does it lack storage? Do you need to relocate the work triangle? Do you want to just replace appliances? Are you opening up the kitchen? So ask questions like that.
Right. Right. Yeah,
question number three, Rich.
Yes.
Okay.
How soon would you like the work to start, and when would you like the work to be completed?
And that's actually a very important question because it goes back even to the tip of the week with setting expectations.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, most everybody's booked out for a while. So, you know, if my favorites is, and I'd like it done for Thanksgiving.
Uh-huh.
You mean 2019.
Right. Yes.
So, yes. No, you really have to think about that.
Yeah. This year? So... The other one right now that's going on is I'd like to get my deck done. I'd like to use it before the end of the season. Well, you're booked out 4 months. We're going to finish this in November. Why don't we just put you on the spring schedule? Why build this thing and then have it sitting outside all winter that you're not using it? You know,
I'd still build it and let it season, and then in spring you can like doll it up.
Right. So but let's put it on the spring schedule. You know, trying to get. Squeeze in a deck and then getting a couple, you know, evening uses out of it it may not be worth it. So, yeah, you got to look at
that. So, I don't know why you guys don't do screen cages up there. Like, every house down here has a screen cage in it.
We did one last year. Not a lot of them, but we did one.
But I don't understand why it's not a bigger market up there, because they're, you know, the mosquitoes are worse than they are here. Only because they spray everywhere, but...
Right, but that's, I think, you know, the screen porch is...
No, not porch. Huh? The screen room, the lanai, the screen cage.
Oh!
It, like, you build a deck, you could put this nice, open, airy screen cage like we have all over Florida, but you don't see them up there.
Because of the snow load. That would be my guess.
The snow mine survived a hurricane. I'm pretty sure snow's not
used. Yeah, I don't know.
It's just whatever's, you know, it's not normal, I guess. You know what I mean? No, you could be the trendsetter and start doing it.
Oh, there you go.
There you go.
Anyway.
All right.
You can build one on my house.
I go back. So you are correct, yes. Getting all the information is important. Start and finish dates.
When homeowners are unrealistic about the schedule, educate them on the time you need to develop plans and specs. This not only demonstrates your professionalism, it shows them that you have the experience and perspective required to create a successful project. Now, if you find that they're unwilling to wait a few months, then you can just politely explain, you're sorry, you can't meet their schedule.
Right. Yep. I interrupt people all the time. They go right into what they want to get done, and I will stop. We're not getting to this for 6 months.
Wait, can you play that drop? You have that drop.
Wait, for the love of God, stop.
Right.
Right.
People don't realize.
That's the first thing I go to, because we're wasting time. If you want it done in the next couple of months, we're not your contractors. Forget it. You know, move on. Or start setting that expectation that it's a spring project. You know?
Exactly. And maybe they don't realize how long it takes.
Yeah. Exactly.
So you get a phone call.
All right, let's get to the phones real quick, and then we'll start covering some more of this. And hey, Jeff, you're on Mighty House. Thanks for hanging on. Jeff, you still there?
Or not.
Maybe. Kind of, sort of.
Maybe not.
Are you there? Please to hold. All right, we're going back. Nope. All right, go ahead, cover the next one.
Randall, people are saying on Facebook the audio's out.
Randall.
Can somebody check the audio on Facebook?
Audio on Facebook is already fixed it. Okay.
Thank you.
Already fixed it.
See?
How was I supposed to know?
Uh-huh.
Do you hear the trouble that I get into, people who are kindly telling me that the audio is out on Facebook? And you know what I get? I already fixed it.
You want to go back in the car? Because that's how you go back in the car.
First of all. On you.
Thanks,
second
Dad.
Of all, there's your clip. I already fixed it. Of the week. Okay. Do you have a budget for...
Seven questions the contractor is going to be asking the potential homeowner.
Ron, do you have a budget for this project?
Yeah, you know, I really don't know what it's going to cost. I just, you know, I just want to do a kitchen with the Sub-Zero, you know, the Sub-Zero refrigerators. I want a Viking or Wolf cooktop. And then I need Wolf double ovens. I like two dishwashers. I just don't know what that's going to cost.
You're at $50,000 in appliances already.
I know.
Well, that's a good thing to say, Rich.
So I don't know what I'm going to spend. I don't know.
I'm at $50,000 in appliances already. Wow. Yep. Well, maybe, you know.
Yeah,
okay.
Well, but there's a problem. Like, when I would talk with clients, I would always try to, like, say, you know, we're talking about this, and I would try to pre-qualify them, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, you're trying to find out if it's a good job for you, if it's going to be a good fit. And then the budget one was always tough, because you'd ask, well, what are you looking to spend on this project? And they'd never want to tell you.
Right.
Because if they say $20,000, you laugh at them. If they say $150,000, well, the job comes in at $149,900.
Right. Yeah, that we're going to make sure that we get all $150,000
of them. All of their money. So that one's always been touchy. So I actually just said, you know, this could cost quite a bit of money, and I would throw a couple of numbers out there and watch for eyes. Eyes up to the left, man, we might as well go home.
Uh-huh.
But the bigger thing was I would do a wish list, and we would go through everything and put everything on there, and then I'd come back with a price. And if, you know, it was too much, then we go, okay, here's what I offered. What can you live without?
Right, right. Yeah. So it's good to sit down and, you know, you need to know what the budget's going to be. And if you want a bathroom, okay, it's going to be $25,000. And if they flip out and they go, no, I only want to change the vanity and retile the tub. Oh, well,
24,500.
Yeah. So, you know, you need to get that number out there. And I understand homeowners don't want to give the contractor their true budget, because they think that the contractor is going to come take it all, whether they actually need it or not. So,
Well, from, because, that's basically because it's true. There are
contractors
that yes
are going to do that. So the reality
and I'd like
is
half now, please.
Yeah, and the reality is that whether you can afford it or not, it's still going to cost the same from us.
Right.
You know, I'm still going to give you the same number whether you can afford it or not. So it's tough to feel out the contractor homeowner, but that's part of it. So from the homeowner's perspective, then I would say, well, what's your average bathroom cost? What does your average kitchen cost? Because the contractor can answer that. You know, our average 5x8 bathroom is going to be $25,000. Okay, now I know. That's way more than I want to spend. Fine. Well, we're going to go our separate ways.
So, and we do that. I mean, every house I build, I keep all, when I close the job out,
mm-hmm.
I take all that. It all goes into a spreadsheet based on all the options that were in the house. So whether it was a GE appliance package, whether it was Sub-Zero Wolf, or whether it was Whirlpool, and then we would go, like, whether it was Anderson Windows, whether it was PGT.
Yeah.
So I keep historical data, and all of that gets averaged out. And then if you're having me build you a house, I give you allowances for appliances and so on. They're all based on what I spent on average. We have a client right now who went out and picked out 20, you know, five more appliances than were in the last house. They picked out higher end granite, you know, $130 a square foot tops. And they're complaining that
it's
the allowances aren't enough. And they think we're kind of, you know, screwing them around because they're $275,000 over their allowances.
Uh-huh.
I'm like, you're not doing apples to apples. You guys went out and picked out some pretty high end stuff. You added stuff. Why would you think it would match?
Right. And, you know, 5-7 years ago, people would hit their allowances and be right on the money. Now they're blowing right through those budgets because, you know, they're picking higher end stuff. So, you know, my allowances haven't changed and the prices of the materials haven't changed that much. It's just the selection process. People are willing to spend more money. You know, they'll spend $750 on a toilet, whereas 5-7 years ago, they weren't going to.
No, it's $250 at most. You know?
Exactly.
It's we're seeing the same thing. It's crazy trying to do this. But, I mean, stuff has gone up. I mean, we've hit 20% increases down here in the last year.
Right.
Between, you know, between the tariffs and the labor shortage and the hurricane, you know, like roofing products primarily.
Mm-hmm.
Our roofing prices went up, you know, 12-15% in less than a year.
Well, right.
It's hard to absorb that. But you don't allowance a roof typically. You just call it out.
Right, right.
So, next.
So, I was just going to add that what they suggest.
Sure.
Is you say, you know what, I've done kitchens $30,000, I've done bathrooms $70,000.
Uh-huh.
You know, do you fall somewhere in there? Are you closer to this or closer to that?
Right. Yeah. And that's really, I think, the way to answer that question. So
I do too.
You know, a lot of people, homeowners are not professional remodelers. They don't know what it's going to cost. So to expect them to know, you know, they may think that, you know, $10,000 for a 5x8 bathroom is enough.
Well, that's why all
because they just don't know.
The 10,000 shows on DIY and everything. I wish they would talk legitimate numbers.
Yes, real numbers. Yeah.
Yeah.
Not just what the materials cost. So.
Right.
All right, let's take a quick break. We'll be back right after this.
This is Mighty House. Mighty House will return.
See, I work construction. I build things. I don't know if y'all realize the pressure a man like me's got on him.
This is Mighty House.
We're broadcasting worldwide and live. MightyHouse.net, TuneIn.com. We're also on the Gab Radio Network. Just look for Mighty House Home Improvement Show. Podcasts and previous shows available at MightyHouse.net, Stitcher, iTunes, SoundCloud, and on HomeImprovementUSA.com. Find links to all of them at MightyHouse.net. And you can follow us on Facebook. Just look for Mighty House Home Improvement Show, and our Twitter handle is at Mighty House. And if you find us on the Facebook and the Twitter, click that like button, or on the YouTube channel. If you're watching us on YouTube and you're watching those reposts, just click the like button, subscribe, all that fun stuff. That way we get credit for all that.
Speaking of fun stuff.
Fun stuff.
Speaking of fun stuff.
Yeah.
There's some radio station that I listen to, and once in a while they'll say, I just want somebody to call, you know, 10 people to call, and sometimes they'll say, I want 10 females to call. We're going to ask you a question. You don't have to go on air. We just want to ask. And then they'll come back and they'll say, you know, we've randomly asked 10 females, you know, what they first liked about their husband or whatever, you know.
Okay.
Just a random thing.
Uh-huh.
So I would like a firefighter to call.
You have like firefighters. You have a thing for firefighters.
877-711-5611.
Uh-huh.
877-711-5611. You don't have to come on air.
No.
You can if you want to come on air. I have a question for you. 877-711-5611. First fireman to call.
Okay.
Now, Randall, I don't know how we're going to prove that they're a fireman or not, but, you know, maybe you could say
they'll probably just tell you the truth.
Okay.
That, or I have a specific question that only maybe a few people, including firefighters, would know.
Awesome. Okay. So, please, I would like one firefighter to call up, and it's kind of fun.
Okay.
So, please call up.
Okay.
Okay.
So, we were going over the seven
we
questions
are.
A contractor might
yes,
ask
but
you.
Somebody threw a squirrel out there, and apparently we went left.
Yeah.
We just quickly went left.
Yeah.
Okay.
She's setting up the next segment there, Rich. She's got her clutter clarity thing coming up.
Okay.
What kind of research have you done?
Oh.
Rich, what kind of research have you done on this project? Your project, Rich, is you'd like to remodel your basement. What kind of research have you done?
Well, that's actually a good one because we tell people all the time to go through newspapers, magazines, and all that and get mood shots. In other words, all I need are the
mood
pictures.
Shots. Isn't that a
mood
porno
shots.
Thing?
No.
Mood shots. It's what do you want it to kind of look like? In other words, it has to be done to scale. It may not fit in your basement altogether, but what do you like? Is there a theme to it? You know, if you're doing a basement, do you want it just living space? Do you want a home theater? Things like that. And if it's a home theater, do you want platform seating? Do you want, you know, where it's, you know, different levels? So I always say the mood shots, pictures from magazines are really important.
Yep. More than a material selection, you know, because if you have the pictures, you went on Houzz or whatever and you saved a bunch of stuff. Here's what the bar area should look like. Here's what the entertainment area should look like. Here's my movie theater or my TV area. That's what I want it to look like. I want this pool table set up like this over here. You know, that kind of stuff is what you want. Or you want this wine room or you want this studio, whatever you want. You know, the stuff you want in there, just have like pictures of it. Because that's going to be trying to pick the materials. The homeowner, you know, might have some idea of the materials they want, but more importantly is to have the look and let the contractor steer you towards the right materials to be used.
Right.
So
now this just veered off, speaking about veering off and going a different direction.
Yeah.
It doesn't make sense. The answer that they gave to what kind of research have you done talks about they want to know how involved the homeowner is going to be in the project. It doesn't make any sense.
Huh. That's different.
It's a different question.
Yeah.
Do they want to, you know, order the windows themselves because they think they can get a better deal? You know, do they want to go pick out the cabinets at a big box store? You know, that's not the question that they asked.
No, that is a good question to ask because I pretty much tell people you're not doing any of that.
Yeah.
So asking what
all you're going to do is mess with my schedule.
Yes.
You know, the whole process. And then you want me to warranty your stuff. It's
right.
Like, it's just not right on so many levels.
Exactly. The tip is, if you need to explain why you want to manage the whole product, try these. If you, the contractor, provide all the materials, the contractor can give you a full warranty.
Right.
Now, but that wasn't the question. What should the question be to find out how involved the homeowner wants to be? The question is, what kind of research have you done?
No, that you just said it. How involved are you going to be in this project?
Okay.
You know,
I want my clients to do is sign checks
and get out of the way.
Yes. And I mean that in the best possible way. I mean, if we do our jobs, you know, I don't know what you do for a living. You know what I mean? So if I don't know,
you don't want me doing
your
accounting,
bank
books.
Or whatever. Yeah. Go to your job. If you're worried about the cost, do a couple hours overtime.
Yeah.
But you know, I've already drawn up what you want. We've already priced it out. Let me do what I do best. You do what you do best and just sign checks.
Right. So you know, if that toilet's going to be that you like is 6 months out, okay, that you've got the materials picked out, but we're not starting your bathroom until that toilet's sitting in here. So, you know, those material selections are really important. So you have to make sure that what you're going to do is in stock, what you want is in stock. If it's not, when's it going to be here? Okay, we now know that it's here, then we start. And especially with a smaller project like a bathroom or just a basic kitchen, you want all those parts sitting in the garage or at the warehouse ready to go. Because if you say, okay, well, the toilet's supposed to be in on the 5th, and you start anticipating the installation of that toilet on the 5th, and then all of a sudden it's backlogged and you know, backordered, and it's going to even take longer, that's yep. You know, now your bathroom's undone, so it's not right. worth it.
And we're running into that now because Kohler had a fire at the foundry.
Oh, yeah.
So they actually now, they're running 120 days on most of their cast iron sinks and tubs.
Really?
So I've got houses that have to be finished before then, so we're switching manufacturers.
Uh-huh.
But that's a good example of, you know, we try not to start till we're ready to finish. But.
Right. Right, that's exactly it. So, you wanna know that your materials are around and that you can actually get something out of it. You know that the job's going to go. You don't want it to be slowed down.
You know, like when we did big additions or blow out the back wall of your house and do a kitchen, you know, an addition with a kitchen remodel, that you'd start without right. having everything in the garage. But I totally agree. I mean, if you're doing a bathroom remodel and you want this to go smoothly, when the tile's sitting there, the fixtures are sitting there, the vanity is sitting there. I can go do demolition. I can have that thing turned around in a week.
Or three or four. Yeah.
Three or four. What, you guys go slow? Milker.
No. Because we end up bringing up all new water lines. You know, yeah. We're working in older homes where you end up doing some reframing. You're bringing in new water lines. You're bringing up the new electrical circuits. You know, so all of that stuff needs to get done. And, of course, when it's second floor, you're blowing out the first floor, making holes in the basement.
Okay, but seriously, if you had a space that just needed to be drywall ripped down, rip out the cabinets, and update.
Oh.
So now you're just, you know, tiny bit of reframing. The electric's already there, especially the extension cords.
Yeah, an 80s home or one built in the 90s. See that? Yeah.
That's what I'm getting at. It's like that's a week. But no, you're right. I mean, hell, you get into some of houses where they got the mud set tile floors and walls.
It takes
I got 3 days in demo with a jackhammer.
Right. Yeah. No, and that's the thing that I'm looking at too. You know, I get in a house that's built in the 70s or it's newer. I mean, that's a brand new house to me. So, you know,
right.
We're used to these 1920s homes where it's just everything's, you know, 3 inches of concrete. So, and then the electric's not done right. The plumbing's not done right. All that needs to get ripped out and replaced. And I mean, that's all part of that scope of work too, that you need to really spell out, because that makes a huge difference in your budget. So how are we doing on the list there, Robbie?
We're doing very good.
Okay.
Sorry, I got distracted because somebody was posting something.
About?
I got a notification,
yeah.
But then I wasn't connected. So I had to try to get back.
Reconnect. Okay.
Question number
distracted?
Six.
No.
Who will be involved in the decision?
Oh, I hate this one.
Okay. To move forward with this project.
Right. And if you read through that, that means I want to have both decision makers there at the house when I'm there. This is a tactic like for selling roofing or siding or windows. And that's that one-stop close. They want to be able to go, come over there, shoot you the number, and then have you sign the contract right there. I've never been there. I honestly just usually one person's there. Just show me what you want. Here's the quote. I'm gone. I'm done. You know, I'm not looking for both decision makers to be there. It's really hard. And it depends on what you're selling. But, you know, the first thing I get is, what do you mean my wife's not capable of making a decision? I need to be there. That's the first thing I think of. You know, and I'm sure maybe a lot of other women would say, what do you mean? I can't make the decision. You need my husband here?
Exactly.
Well, so, actually, and that works kind of a couple of different ways. I actually prefer to have both parties there, at least during the presenting of the contract, so that I know they're on the same page. And then in my contract, I had a line item in there that said who is authorized to sign change orders.
Yep, exactly.
and I would put their names in there, because it has happened where the wife will, and this is not being mean, it's just the truth. This wife is spending money, signing, you know, doing change orders, and then the husband's like, I didn't approve that. I'm not paying it.
Right.
And then it becomes a real pissing match because whoever's name is on the title or deed for the house is the only one you can lien, and it might only be his name. If it's not in both their names, you have no lien rights.
Yeah, and we've had it the other
ridiculous
way, too.
Yeah, no, that's what I mean. I mean, I've had guys, right.
They're just signing change orders left and right, and the boss is like, hey, whoa, stop. We can't do that. So that goes both ways.
I always did. I always wrote up change orders. Even if I were standing and I told you I'd do it for you for free, I wrote up a no-charge change order.
Right.
Everything was documented all the time.
Yep. So that makes a big difference on what you're going to do. What's the last one there, Robbie, real quick? 30 seconds.
Sorry. Have you remodeled before?
Have you ever remodeled before?
If not, do you know someone who has remodeled before?
Yeah. So that tells you whether or not it's been a nightmare, if they've been burned before. So if somebody's remodeled before and had a bad experience, you know you've got a lot of hand-holding coming up. So for the contractor's perspective, somebody that's been burned is a lot harder job to do than someone that hasn't. So,
right.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. Come back with Clutter Clarity next. You're listening to...
This
Mighty
is
House.
Mighty House.
Mighty House will return.
Here I come to save the day.
Here they come to save the day. This is Mighty House.
We're broadcasting worldwide and live. MightyHouse.net, TuneIn.com. We're also on the Gab Radio Network. Just look for Mighty House Home Improvement Show. Podcasts and previous shows available at MightyHouse.net, Stitcher, iTunes, SoundCloud, and on HomeImprovementUSA.com. Find links to all of them at MightyHouse.net. You can follow us on Facebook by looking for Mighty House Home Improvement Show, and our Twitter handle is at Mighty House. And you can give us a call on the Mr. Floor Helpline. It's 877-711-5611, and you'll have a chance to win your choice of Mr. Floor cleaning products. They're all non-toxic and environmentally safe, and you can learn more at MrFloor.com. All right, and if somebody wanted to sign up for the newsletter, Rich, how can they do that?
You run right over to MightyHouse.net, click on the Contact Us page, just fill in the name, address, or your name and phone number. No, first and last name and your email address. Jesus. And just click on Submit, and you'll get it every Friday, tell you what's coming up on the show. I don't want your phone number.
No.
And we don't use your information for anything more than
sending
you a newsletter.
Yeah, that's about it. Just like that. Boom, done. So, all right. And are we rolling there, Randall? We are good. All right. You can watch us on YouTube and catch up on older Clutter Clarity segments if you missed them. And if you're watching on YouTube, hit the subscribe button and you'll be notified when we post a new video. We try to get the new ones out every week, but whenever Randall sends them to us is really when they get posted. So that's how that works out. So click on that subscribe button now and you'll be able to... catch all
of
these.
Do you want the fan on?
No, it's hot enough in here. We don't need the fan on.
Oh.
The fan only makes it minutely warmer.
You should
warmer.
Try speaking into a mic. This is like radio.
The fan only makes it minutely warmer, but it will cool you off.
Yeah, if we're in here, but it's warm enough in here. I think we're okay.
Okay.
If you're sweating.
All right.
He's sweating.
Hey, did you know how Clutter Clarity is powered? Did you know what powers Clutter Clarity?
Yes, I do.
What?
Mr. Floor.
Mr. Floor. Yeah, Mr. Floor does power Clutter Clarity. Here we go. Do you have a disarrangement disorder? Can't seem to get that jumbled pile of chaos in one place? Maybe it's time for a little disposal, a little cleanup, a little eradication, evacuation, liquidation, and purgification. Here's Robbie with a tip on how to put some neatness into your disorder. This is Clutter Clarity on Mighty House. We haven't done this in a while.
Save
the whole song thing.
From this prison.
Yes, every week.
No, we've
Lord
been missing
help
it.
Me get away.
Randall stuff, I think. We've been missing.
What are you talking about?
Because only you can save me now from this misery.
We do this every week.
Every week? Like, constantly?
Now you're making me question my sanity. I know. Kiwi's waking up.
Yeah, she's like, come on. Get me
How
out of
here. How far is heaven? I know that I need to change my ways of living. How far is heaven?
Lord, can you tell me?
We sing this every week. And you know what? You program it in every week.
I do?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, so I post...
What I can tell you is Clutter Clarity is powered by Mr. Floor. Mr. Floor cleaning products are all non-toxic and environmentally safe, and you can learn more at MrFloor.com. Now it's yours.
Okay, I posted on Mighty House Radio Show on Facebook a quick little video which shows some moving tips.
Which I don't like, but go ahead. Go to your first one.
Tell me why you don't like them.
Your first one.
The first one is you take a plastic garbage bag, and you take your clothes that are hanging in the closet, you scoop a bunch in, you tie the handles of the plastic bag around the hangers, and then you just carry it off.
Uh-huh.
Is that one you don't like?
No. Yeah, I don't like that one.
Why?
I punch a hole in the bottom of the bag, put it over, and then drape it down, and it's done. That way you don't have to do all that tying stuff. But it's a lot of wasted plastic, if you ask me.
Well, if you do it the way that we say...
All right. Plastic's biodegradable.
If yeah. you do it the way that we say, which yeah. I do, when I am in need of something like that, I do it the way you say, like mm-hmm. for one thing. But if you do it the other way, then you're not wasting the bag because then you untie it. And okay. look, you have a garbage bag.
You still have a garbage bag.
You still have a garbage bag. So you've used it twice. One garbage bag, used
okay.
it twice.
All right. Okay? I stand corrected.
That's okay. You can stand corrected.
Because this is your department. So this, you know.
No, it's okay. I'm just saying it makes...
When I moved my daughter, that's what we did. We punched holes in the top of them and pulled them all down. And I said, why are we doing this? She said, because we need to protect the clothes. I said, they're going in the car and they're going back into a closet. What do we need to protect them from?
Right.
But that was me. So go ahead.
But you're right. They just did it upside down. And then if you just tie it in a little bow instead of a hard knot, then you uh-huh. have your garbage okay. can back already. Okay.
Ding.
Thing number two.
Item number two.
Item number two. You're moving boxes. A lot of times they don't have handles in there.
Mm-hmm.
Which makes me cray-cray.
Uh-huh.
So what you can do is you can take your, what's the little
reach
hand?
Reach all the way down to the bottom and pick it up from the bottom?
You could do that. Or this tip, I'm not saying these are my tips, I'm just saying this is a video if you'd like to watch right. this video, is you take your box
X-Acto
cutter,
knife, yeah.
X-Acto knife, and you cut a little triangle in there, and then you can put your hands in there.
On the sides, so
yeah,
that
on
you
the
can
sides.
Lift it. You make
and,
handles.
And lift it. You make handles, which is a sort of nice, convenient thing.
The problem is they cut all three sides of the triangle out. And I think they should only cut two sides, the two sides that come down.
Right, and then fold it.
Fold it in so that way you've got additional, box
hand,
there to,
right.
to make it stronger.
Right, and...
But that's me.
You're not... I agree, because otherwise you have the waste then of the little scraps of cardboard
right.
floating
sure.
around. And then this way you have a smoother edge to hold on to.
Because it's curled over. It's nice and comfortable.
Yes.
It's not a cut edge.
Okay, the third thing, press and seal. And this is a relatively
press
new product, I think. It's like plastic wrap, you know, like
oh,
a saran
yeah, yeah.
wrap when you're putting it over a bowl or something.
Mm-hmm.
They have something now called press and seal. So what they're suggesting is you take press and seal. So let's say you have one of those little plastic drawer thingies,
mm-hmm.
you know, like a three-tier plastic drawer thing. Well, why unpack it all? You know, why put everything into a different box? You just take the press and seal. You wrap all around it. Now, if you go to a big box store, you can get a huge roll of like press and seal, which is what movers use.
Yeah.
And then they will wrap up entire, you know,
Yeehaw!
Dressers and cabinets and things like that with that stuff.
Uh-huh.
But if you want to do a small thing yourself, use the press and seal.
Got it.
Now, when I was down in Florida helping people move, that's what the guys did.
Saran wrap.
Yeah, it was like a big, huge roll of saran wrap, and they were wrapping around things. And I went, wait a minute. So they tilted things over, and I heard everything
slopping around.
And I said, what's going on? They said, oh, we were told we didn't have to empty the drawers. I said, well, let me look. So we cut it all out,
uh-huh.
and I opened, and there were some delicate, fragile. And I said, did you guys even look?
No.
And they're like, no, we are told to just wrap everything and uh-huh. move it on. So I looked, and I'm like, it's okay if it's, you know.
Clothes,
t-shirts. Napkins, you know, because this was like a dining thing, you
sure.
know.
Oh, dinette set? Dinette.
Yeah. But I'm like, no, you can't just, everything would be broken. So be careful with that.
Okay.
The other thing that I noticed that this moving company did, which I nearly lost my mind, it was a long, hard move. It was like 100 degrees out. It was supposed to be done in one day. They had to take 2 days to do it. Uh-huh. So at the very end, they were just lazy.
Don't move to Florida. That solves that problem.
Don't move to Florida.
Okay.
They were just very lazy. And what they did, which I didn't realize, is at the end, they just started throwing things in boxes.
What about heat stroke? You got to be careful of your workers. You can't just like make them work. Rich, what do you do about that? Siesta
keep
time?
Giving them water.
Okay, yeah. Okay, you got a minute left.
I'm not saying we work them too hard. I mean, the company who
hired, yeah,
who these workers are, they could have set limits and said you're only working X amount of hours or whatever. But what I'm saying is at the end, they just got lazy through everything. So when I unpacked a box, they put a blender, a huge mixer thing, you know what I mean, a huge one on top of decorative bowls.
That worked
so,
out well.
Guess what happened? Exactly. The decorative bowls weren't even wrapped. I'm like, who did this? So just things to watch for. Okay. According to this article, which I haven't done, it's safer for plates to pack them vertically.
Yeah, that makes sense. That was a good one. I like that.
Yeah, I didn't know. So that's something I'm going to try. Okay, we have more tips and we'll just have to wait until another day. If you're a firefighter, please call 877-715-611. Did I get it in, Randall?
You got it.
One quick question for you.